The World Rock Countdown with George Ron.
Back in the summer of 2017, I had the chance to sit down with Evergrey before their show in Toronto. This is the inaugural interview of the World Rock Countdown, the first one we've ever done. It has never been released until now. Enjoy this, because we sure did, with Evergrey on a restaurant patio. Check this out.
Pay attention, lads. The interview has
started. And you have a bottle of Canta coming, right? And Moretti's, right?
Yeah, Moretti.
Oh, can I get the Amsterdam Bow Shaker, please?
For sure.
Yeah, I'm not the Moretti.
Oh, welcome, Moretti guys, man.
Thank you.
How you doing?
I was wondering, like, I'm afraid of heights.
You're a pussy.
I'm afraid of heights, man. I totally am a fucking pussy. And like, honestly, I look at a lot of rock music and stuff, and when I came across King of Errors, I was like, aren't you guys afraid to be on top of a crane?
He was.
Yes.
Me and him was lying on the ground for the first like 30 minutes, and then you know this wind gusts. Also.
Yeah.
Whoa!
I would need to like piss my pants 5 or 6 times to get up there, man. It's really scary. Like,
you know how long we were up there?
How long?
8 hours.
Oh my god!
In a row. Yeah, no toilet, no nothing.
No toilet.
Yeah, yeah.
No beer.
No beer.
No beer.
No
beer.
No
beer.
No food.
Yeah. No nothing.
Wow.
That's just hard work.
Yeah. And who thinks of like the concepts for the videos? Like they're insanely put together, and they're more high end than some of the movies I've seen. Like, who thinks that the concept of the video, are they connect? Is Distance and King of Error connected in some sorts?
Well, we can't really reveal that now because we have a third album coming out that might reveal the connection.
Nice.
So,
that's good.
Well, I'm on to you guys. So,
yeah, good, good.
I feel like the newest record and the last one is. What I generalize is a great record, right? So, in the rock world, I think, you know, there's artists that are forgot about after the first single's released. No one knows who they are. And there's also a record like this one where it stays in my car on my phone for 6 months. I can listen to it. I can tell my friends about it. And that's how I feel. Like, I told him about it, and now he's kind of hooked, and, like, I'm listen to more of your music going back, and like, oh, this is really cool, right?
Oh, cool, thanks.
So people are, I'm understanding you guys charted like 8 countries this year.
Yeah.
So that's a big first for you guys, and that's really awesome, man.
Yeah, I mean,
sometimes some stuff just needs time.
Yeah, yeah.
Apparently.
So you guys have been together for 20 years.
Yeah.
What's next? What are you gonna do? Are we gonna celebrate the 20 years first off? Jack Daniels?
That's every day, so that's not like it's not like very celebrating for us. But I mean, we didn't even think about it. We didn't even think about the 20 years at all. It was, of course, a label thing, but I mean, at the same time, it is something to be very proud of. We have been doing the same thing for 20 years.
Does your wife sing in the band too?
On the albums, yeah.
Great.
Just on
I'll
the albums.
I'll be back whenever the food comes.
I've noticed a lot of Swedish people are very
open,
tall.
Right?
What's that?
Is
that for liftoff?
Oh, yeah. Can we open it?
Oh, I thought you guys wanted to wait until the
food
comes. Let's open it.
So you can breathe.
Yes.
Sorry. I've noticed a lot of Swedish people are like, especially like musicians. I saw Soilwork. I don't know if you guys are friends with those guys, but those guys are tall too. Like, you guys all tall?
The keyboard player was even in our band. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think Bjorn is one of the best vocalists ever. Like,
he certainly
his transition from like, you know, harsh vocal to like clean is incredible.
Yeah.
But also like when I look at Swedish music in general, you have Avatar, you have Sabaton, like the bands from now. You guys, are they raising you guys? Like, do you have a good music program in school? Is that why?
And the Sabaton drummer was also in Evergrey. So
oh really?
We raise great metal bands. How's that as an answer?
Breakthrough.
That's
a breakthrough.
That's a headline.
Yeah.
No, just
leave it first.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I think we have a good tradition now where we have a lot of history of great bands from Sweden, and that encouraged new bands to take a step and go for it.
Like I haven't heard of, like, I'm sure there are bad bands in Sweden, but I haven't heard.
Well, there's a lot of bad bands.
Yeah.
Sorry, no, or not.
But like I haven't heard a very bad band. I've heard great bands and good bands and mediocre, but like I haven't heard like horrible bands, you know.
A good standard, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, and, I mean, really as well as, I mean, of course, we need to understand that we also live in a part of the world where we have the funds and the means and the possibility to. We're a rich country.
Yeah.
So of course that helps.
Yeah, and the weather helps as well. I mean, if I would be living in LA, I wouldn't been spending my time in a rehearsal room with these guys as much as we have done.
Yeah.
You know, instead of raining and dark in winter, well, you might as well go to rehearsal. You know.
All right. I mean, of course, that also creates a mindset. I'm pretty sure that it does. You know, because it is dark half of the year.
Wow.
You know. I mean.
Yeah. I'd really like to go there. I mean, I've had friends that have gone there and they've done the whole tour of Europe and they've loved it.
The influences are definitely shining through here, I think, in terms of like the quality of music, the quality of the video. Like, that's what I was really attracted to when I first heard you guys.
I'm going to go meet Evergrande.
10 gig, 3-minute video.
Who are those guys? I send the video. Like, man, these videos are insane. Like,
just the quality is like, I'm a producer, so that's kind of what I do for, like, it's my trade. So like, just the everything in that video, all the videos, they're just ridiculously amazing. Yeah. Like very, very ahead of what I've seen before. So I like that. I like seeing.
Yeah, I mean,
something
we
I've
were very
before.
Fortunate to have a team that, I mean, we worked with Patrick, who was the director for also close to 15 years at least, right? So, so for us, it's. We have people that like us and like to work with us, and then we, of course, we brainstorm together. We brainstorm. Mm-hmm. Me and Patrick brainstorms a lot. So.
What about the music? Like, when it comes to writing a song, do you write the song and then give it to them, or you guys all just come together and?
It's different, but.
It's very different. I mean, it can be whoever comes up with a riff and present it, and then just either has a whole idea for a song or just has that riff and then just hands that over to some of the rest of us, and then we just take it.
Well, it's very interesting to hear how songs come together, right? Like,
I mean, me and Jonas are the ones who are the most interested in the production side of things as well. So naturally, we spend the most time at the computer and writing, and then we tell people, basically. I've told Rickard, write the saddest thing you ever can come up with, you know, and then we need that part, and then Henry comes in and plays a riff or have a song, as you said. But most of the last two albums we have been in a very nice inspirational mood together, you know, and then it didn't matter who was there or whatnot, you know.
I find with the last two albums there's like emotional hooks, right? So when you come in with Distance or King of Errors, like, people, they connect with that song immediately, and that's what made me an instant fan, right? Like, I was listening one night, and it was very late, and I was on Facebook, so I wasn't watching YouTube, but it was going through all these videos. I was listening to Stryker, and then I went to you guys. I was like, who are these guys? And
after 20 years, how do you find promoting your albums change now versus when you first started? I know it's very digital, very different.
Yeah, I mean, just the
how do you stay ahead of the curve?
Just that we never discuss, like, well, they didn't put out the album in this and this magazine, and it's like those discussions are kind of gone nowadays.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a friend that still has both of the, like, the biggest metal magazines in Sweden. So every time I'm at his place taking a piss, I see those magazines in the toilet. And nowadays it's just like, they're just like fanzines. I mean, when we were young, the fanzines, I mean, were more detailed, you know, so it's a huge difference, I think.
I would
imagine,
like, I couldn't imagine starting my career 20 years ago and seeing it now and still trying to stay ahead of that curve and still trying to stay up with it.
I think there's very few magazines that would be like, really, really cool to be featured in nowadays.
At the same time, to be
impressed, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Whereas a couple of years ago, it's just some we were really bummed that we didn't get a review in that, but it just changed, you know?
And at the same time, I mean, today we do get reviewed in every magazine there is.
Yeah.
I mean, we do 2 weeks of press tour in Europe and also in the USA. We've been here for both the last albums.
Absolutely.
That, so.
But it's just on the radar in a different way.
Sure.
It didn't change. So you almost have to chase the game now, right?
Just, yeah, but
you got to stay on people,
just,
right?
I mean, if they want, fucking 30 seconds after the show is gone, people can start posting it.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, yeah. Mm. Everything's live, you know, now, right on the web, you know?
As little as I like to see one person standing with a worst case scenario, a movie camera or a fucking iPad the whole show, it's like, at least maybe that's going to draw attention to people that would never hear of us anyway.
Oh, exactly.
So, but I don't like it. I can understand how you go to a concert filming the whole show and not watching the show.
Yeah.
You're missing out on the show to the show to other people.
I always appreciate it when I go on the computer and I want to look up those bootleg videos and I'm like, all right, who's that asshole with the iPad that I can watch? I'm not that guy with the iPad, but I'm always like,
But I'm looking as well.
Yeah, exactly. I want to see it.
And I think it's...
But it's different being in the band and being in the fan.
For sure, of course.
But, but I think it's kind of healthy to do that once, especially on tour. If you think that you're like better than when you are, you can just go out and you can get an exact status on your playing, you know, every night, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, definitely.
Or brutal.
Yeah, or brutal.
I can go
either way from that.
So do you guys have any like pre-show rituals? Like slash, he works out before. I jack off before me. Bush. He plays tennis.
On this tour, we started to a little workout. It's like a little workout, but it's you know.
But it is a workout.
It is, yeah. I mean, it's way, way better than not doing it. So we do like a muscle group per day, kind of.
You almost need to stay in shape, right? Do you guys eat like a certain way on tour?
We just do that. The two exercises a day.
Do you gain weight on tour?
Stop drinking and waiting for the show, pretty much.
Yeah, definitely. Especially in North America.
How long have you been on the road now? When did the tour start?
Three weeks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So we have another week.
Yeah.
And then
Then it's home to detox.
But other than that, it's like just warming up, you know, whoever needs warming up, like I do, and I do my thing, and then we listen to music that gets us going, and
by myself.
Yeah.
Like this?
Yeah.
Like five times. Yeah.
You warm up now.
Yeah, warm up.
Oh, shit.
That's about it.
What kind of music, what kind of bands you listen to right now?
Always different.
Anything.
Yeah.
It could be like
the oldest one or the latest that somebody has heard. Yeah. So it doesn't matter. You can usually, it's very hard to please five guys that likes music a lot.
Yeah.
So it's sometimes we are kind of snobs, I think, especially on the warm up, because it's really important to have like a good mix. You instantly notice if you lose one of the guys, you know, they start talking on the phone instead. It's like, we need another song, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, what usually does it, I mean, like early Van Halen or you know, any type of Van Halen, or, you know, that, you know, Judas Priest, whatever,
nice,
Maiden, you know, that usually.
What's some of the bigger bands you've shared the stage with?
We opened for Whitesnake, Scorpions,
Deep Purple, Dream Theater,
yeah.
Nice.
Festival,
of course.
You
name it, pretty much.
Do you guys like playing on your own tour, or do you like the festival one-off shows?
I hate festivals.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Do you get offered?
I like tours.
Do you get offered to play at a lot of festivals?
No, it's great. It's great for the ego and everything, but it just, since usually where we are on the bill, it means that we're gonna go up and just fucking have to wing it, you know? We get a line check and just pray that everything's gonna work, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, it's not, I prefer like having it more
controlled.
Yeah, sound checks where it's at. You don't want to be going on there and the guy's equalizing everything as you're playing. It's happened to me many times, right, as an opening band, so.
Did you guys get found by an A&R guy, or how did you get picked up? Like, what got the ball rolling for you to decide to do this as a career?
I mean, we have signed so many different record deals through the years. So, but I mean, the first time it was this. Since Gothenburg is a big death metal, you know, community, there was this death metal label there that started a new, like, more hard rock label, and heard our demo. I guess I can't even remember. It was, but something like that. And then we got signed, and
rest is history.
Yeah, pretty much.
Is it still like that now? Are there still A&R guys looking for metal bands for their labels?
Yeah, of course.
I don't hear about that too often. I was just curious.
It's way different in North America, right? Like, primarily, probably in your area, there's more of a hype on metal and melodic metal and stuff like that, and people just love that stuff. Here it's just kind of, it's rising, and people, it changed. It was all screaming, and now people are preferring the heavier music with vocals, right? And I think that's what's going to bring everything back to the mainstream, like the way it's with Skid Row and stuff like that. So everything kind of goes around in circles.
And, and also that, like, the prog scene is getting huge now. I mean, just with Mastodon and Opeth and I mean, they're drawing some really big crowds. So
huge, they're huge here.
That's so far off the mainstream as you can get, you know. It's in metal, but Opeth has, like, all of their songs has 15 minutes, you know. And they're still selling out the Red Rocks with the Gojira. And,
well, I mean, like, Mastodon wouldn't be getting the airplay they are now if they were playing Iron Tusk or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's a way heavier song. They've come pretty far down to get on the radio. That's what they needed, right?
Yeah.
Play the bigger shows.
Yeah.
Well, it was really nice meeting you guys.
It's great. Thank you so much.